Hello, I'm B'nai Naudin, and this is The Process. Movie making is a complex process involving a myriad of people and equipment. Within a movie unit, there may be subunits or crews whose role is to provide additional footage in remote locations, or to elevate existing footage, or to help create imaginary worlds. One such unit is the visual effects unit. My guest today is Mike Chambers, who has headed up visual effects crews for decades now. During and after his studies at UC Santa Barbara, UCLA, and the San Francisco Art Institute, he learned the basics of filmmaking in class and in places like the Roger Corman Studios. He has worked on major motion pictures such as The Abyss, Die Hard, Babe, Pig in the City, True Lies, I Am Legend, Inception, The Dark Knight Rises, and Dunkirk, and more. And he has worked for effects companies such as Apogee, the Chandler Group, Boss Studios, and Digital Domain. Some of his early work related to special venue projects such as The Timekeeper, which was a 360-degree immersive short film that premiered at the launch of Euro Disney back in 1992. I wanted to find out more about how Mike got to where he is and the process that he goes through in his work. What I can say is that we barely scratched the surface. Anyway, here goes nothing. I'm here today with Mike Chambers, a visual effects producer, a visual effects consultant, and the chair of the Visual Effects Society. Mike, how's it going?
It's good. Nice to be with you.
Yes, I'm very happy to have you here. So we're going to be talking about visual effects, and we're going to be talking about your role in the visual effects field. And, we'll take it from there. So when we talk about visual effects, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, visual effects are, basically, it's a means of manipulating images, whether in feature films or television or any kind of film media. Visual effects is kind of making the movie magic. It's primarily a digital operation at this point, but it has an illustrious history of how we've gotten there and how it's used.
You're talking about the history, so how would you describe things in the past in visual effects versus now? What kind of techniques were used more in the past, and what is really used now?
Well, if you think about the history of visual effects, and it goes back to the earliest days of cinema. We look back to people like Méliès and the Man in the Moon,
yep,
which happens to be the symbol of our society,
but when
they started doing optical printing and camera tricks and that kind of thing, developed over 100 years to, you know, now past the digital revolution where we do most things on computers.
Right. So in the past, we had a lot of the first effects were probably like double exposures and matte paintings. Is that correct?
Matte paintings on glass, double exposures, optical cameras, miniatures, other camera tricks, and special effects. And back in the day, they were really of one thing, although now we differentiate between visual effects and special effects. But it's really quite fascinating.
So you're differentiating between visual effects and special effects. So today, there's a split between the two a little bit. So what is special effects then?
Well, special effects, in today's industry, it's really more of the practical effects and things that are created in front of the camera. It can be as simple as, you know, making fire in a fireplace or creating rain, but it can get quite intricate, and building of special rigs, to help stunt people do their thing, and cars, and, you know, everything you can think of that's practical in front of the camera. Whereas visual effects now is more what's done in the post-production process, where existing imagery is taken in and manipulated to create whatever cannot be created in front of the camera.
And when we're talking about this, we often talk, the term used often is plate photography, on which you add effects. Is that correct?
Yeah, plate photography. That we consider the plate the base imagery that's been provided. Of course, you know, now visual effects can create shots out of whole cloth, much like animated films are made today, which is, you know, there's nothing shot with a camera. But a plate is the original photography on which you build the layers of your effects.
All right. So how did you get into the business?
Well, I wanted to get involved in film, studied it in school, and got my first job working for Roger Corman back in the early 80s, and had my first taste of working on a film set and seeing what filmmaking was all about.
Well, the studios, the Roger Corman Studios, is really sort of the hub, the beehive that sort of spawned all kinds of directors and producers and stuff. Who was there at the time that you were there?
Oh, gosh. Lots of folks. I remember Jim Cameron was around. He was an art director. I know a lot of producer types, names that people probably wouldn't recognize, but are active in the behind-the-scenes crew. Yeah, but yeah, that was a special place, and it was quite an incubator for a lot of really well-known filmmakers.
How long were you there for?
I was only there for a little more than a year. I started in Roger's offices and then got a chance to start production assisting on a number of the films they were making. And then I went back to school to continue my studies and get my degree. And when I was done with school, I got back into the film industry and got involved in the visual effects field, although that wasn't my goal. That's kind of where I ended up, and I really enjoyed it. Of course, this was before the digital revolution, and I was fortunate to be exposed to a lot of the more traditional techniques that were used. Again, optical printing, miniatures, matte paintings, early green screen photography, that kind of thing. Some great experiences, and you know, and then saw the rise and the acceptance of computers and digital technology that has, you know, overtaken our industry just as it's overtaken so many industries. And what that's created is now we're at a place where visual effects can create just about anything that anybody can imagine. And then it's just a matter of time, will, and money, of course.
Yeah, lots of money. So I see in your credits some interesting stuff, which I was not aware of. So you started, as you said, as a production assistant, then you went on to become a coordinator, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So I see the Big Top Pee-wee. You were the visual effects coordinator for that.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of effects were happening with that?
Well, for anybody that's actually seen the film, it was Pee-wee at a circus, and there were a lot of, you know, crazy imagery. We had animals walking on a tightrope.
Uh-huh.
That was not something that was really possible to do for the camera. So, you know.
Yeah.
Just an example. There was also small people, and, you know, I haven't seen that film in years.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in years either. I just remember him driving around in a car really fast, as I recall.
Sure.
Or maybe it was very slowly. I can't remember.
Probably something like that.
Anyway.
All kinds of things, but... again, that was, you know, that was many years ago, and it was a different world for visual effects.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, you would create a handful of visual effects shots for a film like that. Maybe a few things had more than that. Star Wars had come out by that point, which was, you know, that was really a touchstone film for the acceptance and desire for visual effects. And now, with our capabilities now, you can see that almost every film is touched by visual effects in one way or another.
Yes.
Often it's just subliminal, supporting what we call supporting visual effects.
Can you give an example of that, of the subliminal?
Well, it'd be like just changing an environment. You know, somebody's shooting in a back lot, and you want to have but they're supposed to be somewhere else. They'll shoot them on green screens and create an environment. And the viewer shouldn't really know anything about it. It's not a big, you know, it's not explosions. It's not the crazy characters. It's just invisible.
Right.
And if they're successful, nobody even realizes they're there.
I recall on Strange Days, the technique that was being done or piloted, I guess, was wire removal. I don't know if that was the beginning of wire removal, but I remember it was a big part of Strange Days because of different things that were happening in mirrors and things like that. Do you recall that?
Well, really, you know what? No, I wouldn't say that was the first use of wire removal. However, as the techniques have gotten better, it's certainly allowed for more spectacular, say, stunts and things like that. As we're able to clean things up, you can achieve things that you couldn't before.
Mm-hmm. I also see that you were for a long time with Apogee. Can you talk about that place?
Apogee was a great studio. Met and got to work with some really great people there. Learned so much. And it was they had a warehouse down near Van Nuys Airport, and you know, worked on a bunch of different films. And again, that was really exposure to a lot of motion control and matte paintings and models again before you know, digital effects really took over.
Uh huh. So tell me a little bit about your role in visual effects. You're not the one creating the effects. What are you doing?
Well, I work with the directors and the producers to put together how we're going to do it, put together the crews, help find the supervisors and the artists that are going to work on the show. It's very common now to have multiple studios working on big shows, and you need to coordinate and administer to all of those vendors, as well as working with all the different departments in the filmmaking process. So, you know, I'm usually working on the show from early on in pre-production through the shooting and then through post-production to make sure the effects are completed and get into the film. I work in feature films, but the process is similar in all different media.
And so you're on really for a very long time. Sometimes it can be years that you're on a film. Is that correct?
Well, however long the film takes. That's, you know, some are faster than others.
Yes, I can imagine. So tell me about a typical day. Let's say a typical day in pre-production. What is it that you do?
In pre-production, we're analyzing the script and the filmmaking plans determine where visual effects work might be anticipated, to figure out how things might be shot to accommodate them or to eliminate them, working on budgets and schedules and all that kind of, you know, straightforward production planning. Once we're into production, then it's, you know, working with the crews and providing the visual effects crews in the places they need to be, and dealing with the changes on a daily basis, because obviously you're going through the script and working on different things every day.
And you're working very closely with a visual effects supervisor. Can you describe their role a little bit?
Visual effects supervisor is really kind of the creative director for the visual effects and the technical director for the visual effects. There are people under the supervisor with those specific roles, but really they've got the oversight of all the creative and technical techniques that are going to be used on the film. And with the supervisor and you know, working with the directors and the producers, the cinematographers, and all the department heads, it's really a very collaborative role.
And who supports you in your role? Do you have a staff of your own?
Well, we have there's a crew that supports all of us in the department, including coordinators and people to gather set information. We also have kind of sub-crews that will work on other specific things like gathering LIDAR data or taking photography and cyber scanning of talent. You know, there's a whole range of things, but and I'll administer that crew. Of course, the size of that crew and the number of people that need to be managed varies from show to show and also from phase to phase of the process.
Well, let's take an example of something more recent that you worked on. I will take Dunkirk, for example. Can you describe one particular shot that you worked on that was very intricate or, you know, that you recall as being particularly challenging or interesting? I'm sure there were many, but what kind of stuff were you dealing with Dunkirk? Because it was a lot of flight and explosions, and I'm not really sure what it all entailed.
Well, a lot of the challenge is just obtaining the plates and the base materials, and the principal photography on that show was challenging and spectacular, and there was a lot going on. And then, obviously, with the visual effects, it's putting it together so it all works.
So did you have different elements that you shot separately? How did that work?
We did. Well, for example, some of the planes were, miniature RC planes. Okay. And we would, we'd composite those into the plate of, say, the soldiers on the beach and the plane flies by. In that case, we didn't have the plane there, you know.
Did you also Did you also do a lot of crowd stuff where you multiplied the number of people? Did that happen a lot on that film?
Yes, that happened a little bit. Although we tried to do as much as we could in camera.
Okay,
that's certainly one of the primary goals of our director on that film is to get as much in camera as possible.
And a very different film would have been Alice Through the Looking Glass, which was very stylized and I think a little bit over the top at moments. I don't know.
Completely different process and product. Yeah, that was very stylized and a lot of pre-planning and animation. Animation is that's a whole other ballgame. And character creation, environment creation. So much of the film was shot on a blue screen, you know, so that the environments were partially or wholly recreated by visual effect.
What has been like a really difficult shoot for you? And I don't want you to necessarily badmouth anybody, but something that was so challenging that you were really grappling with it and how to deal with the situation, if you don't mind.
Well, I would never badmouth anybody. Production can be a grueling process, particularly when you're traveling extensively. That's it. It's hard work. Everybody on a film crew works very hard.
Yes, and you have very long hours sometimes. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Not uncommon to shoot for 10 to 12 hours a day. And for some crew, that's, you know, there's time before and after as well. So they're long days. Sometimes they become long weeks. And, that's just the nature of film production.
What has been, like, one of the best experiences you've ever had in your role as visual effects producer?
I've had too many to even recall. It's been a very gratifying career with a great deal of variety. And I've gotten to work with so many really talented and fantastic people and made some incredible friends along the way.
You are also a consultant, and so obviously that is a shorter term type of thing. What kind of consulting work have you done and on which films?
Well, consulting is it's utilizing my same knowledge and same skills, but that's usually more of a limited project, perhaps working with somebody in pre-production, where they're just trying to figure out what they might be dealing with in a given script, to give some analysis. That's really the only difference. It may not be seeing a film through production and post-production. If it's a more limited engagement, then that's consulting.
You are chair of the Visual Effects Society. Can you talk a little bit about the society and what it is and who's involved?
I love to talk about the society. The Visual Effects Society is a professional honorary organization whose members are all involved in the visual effects industry. It's to honor the artistry, the technical achievements, and the history of our industry. We now have over 4,000 members all over the globe. We have 14 sections in cities on most continents. And it's really a fantastic organization that brings together the best of the best in our industry. And it's been a great honor and a pleasure to be chair of the society.
So what are you doing as chair? You have regular meetings, or how does that all work?
Well, as any nonprofit organization is structured, we have a board of directors that meets on a regular basis. The chair is the head of the executive committee, and I work with the executive committee on a monthly basis and the board on a bi-monthly basis. Yet I work with the executive director and the staff of the organization on a regular basis. And as I said, it's a global group, so we have there are boards at each of the sections.
And how do you meet? Do you meet via Skype? How does that work?
We have both physical meetings and video conferencing.
Uh-huh. And are there events that you organize? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
We are nothing but events.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about that.
For our members, we have obviously our annual awards show is coming up. We're in the midst of the nomination process. And every section puts on their own events for both educational purposes and networking purposes and anything we can do to bring benefits to our membership.
And do you provide assistance for people who are just starting out in the field in terms of guidance or workshops or things like that?
We're really more based on experienced folks, mm-hmm. Although we do partner up with educational and other organizations at times. We also publish a magazine, and we hope to be something that younger folks aspire to and get the experience to get involved with our group.
Now, do you guys have a website with information for people who are interested?
VisualEffectsSociety.com.
Okay. So you've been busy this year, and you are finishing up, I think, two films. Is that correct?
I'm in post-production on Tenet right now. And
that's a Christopher Nolan film?
That's a Christopher Nolan film, and then we have Greyhound will be coming out in May. That's a World War II thriller with Tom Hanks.
So how did you, I mean, because they're sort of overlapping, did you work on both for a period at one point or juggle back and forth?
No, just different schedules. Greyhound was not put out right away. It's all about scheduling at that point.
Okay. All right. If you were to give advice to anyone who's interested in becoming a visual effects producer, what would you suggest that they do?
Get into the business first and okay. Learn what that is. I don't think anybody walks in the door fresh and not in the business and understanding the role to be able to do that. But you need to get into production or get into a visual effects studio and see what it's all about.
And what are some of the big studios, visual effects studios today?
There are myriad studios all around the world. There are a lot of big ones, and there's a lot of smaller and boutique shops as well.
Yeah, I noticed. I noticed there's one not far from where I am. I was very surprised. I'm in the middle of nowhere here. So,
well, with digital technology, people can certainly work a lot of places. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, I think we've covered everything that I wanted to discuss with you. I think that's it.
Very good.
All right, Mike. It's been a pleasure. And we'll keep an eye out for Tenet and Greyhound and look for your name in the credits.
Thanks very much.
Okay, I will bid you farewell.
Farewell to you and Happy New Year to everybody.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this brief introduction to the world of visual effects and the production side of things. I'd like to thank WHUS Stores for making this podcast possible, and also the students who've guided me through the process. I hope you enjoyed the show. Next time on The Process, we'll be talking to Andy Woodcock, who is the volunteer coordinator for the Joshua Tract Conservation and Historic Trust. Hope you'll tune in. Bye-bye.